Hello and welcome.
Welcome to the I Am Radio Network, where noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers collaborate and bring to you the best in radio, TV, and live events worldwide. And now, the I Am Radio Network proudly presents the Dr. Simone Show with your host, Dr. Simone Revies. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Hi, and welcome. This is Dr. Simone Revies, and I'm so pleased that you've made it to our show today. It's going to be an excellent show. I think you're going to be sitting on the edge of your seats listening to what we're going over today and what we're going to be discovering today. This is the Mind-Body Edge, where we speak of things involving human behavior, health, experiences, consciousness, and the like. These issues are vital for us to uncover and discuss because they can educate us, heal us, help us grow, and improve the condition of humanity and the planet as a whole, or so we intend. In my other life, I was a former psychologist, and currently I'm a certified business and life coach and a brain coach. I'm absolutely fascinated by neuroscience and have been studying up a storm about it for over a decade. I incorporate it into the coaching that I do and find that my clients get tremendous benefits from learning how to train their brain and make changes in their brain, which transfer into major transformations in their business and personal lives and huge increases in their success. So I feel very honored to have that knowledge and techniques that I can pass along. I knew very early that what I wanted to do was to help other people and support others. And that was, I think I was very fortunate to learn that early on. I started helping others in, I believe it was junior high school as a candy striper and on a, working with elementary school children on a study. And it just continued on and on throughout my life as I got my master's and PhD in psychology, was a psychologist, and then, as I mentioned, became a coach because I wanted to be able to spread my message to a greater number of people and have greater impact than I could working as a psychologist. So today is going to be a fantastic day, as I mentioned. We're going to have as the main act, I will read you the bio of our upcoming guest. Her name is Katie Grandmaison, and she was born and raised in a small mining town in northern Ontario, Canada, called, now I'm going to give this an effort, and I'll probably completely obliterate it, but it looks like Manitowoc. But she can correct me when she gets on. She lived there until she was 13 when she and her family moved to Sudbury, Ontario. Now, Katie did not have a peaceful or happy upbringing. She grew up in an abusive environment. And at the age of only 16, she was homeless and forced to face the world alone. Since then, Katie's been making her own way. And though she has stumbled, she's never fallen. Everything Coach Katie has done since then has been to better herself and her life, and she's created her programs based on her own experiences. Coach Katie teaches that if you change your choices, you can change your future, and she knows because she did it. So I'd like you all to welcome Coach Katie. She's also known as the Relationship Whisperer, and here she is. Katie?
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you. It's so wonderful to have you join me and the listeners today. And, you know, you're really an amazing person with the unique abilities and strengths that we'll be discussing today. I know the listeners are going to be absolutely fascinated by what you have to share with us today.
Thank you.
So to start off, can we correct the way I meant? I said that
you actually said it perfectly. It's Manitouaj.
Oh, okay, Manitouaj.
Yeah, it's native for Cave of the Great Spirit.
Oh, cool. Okay, wonderful. So to start off, I want to be accurate here, and what also I'm calling you. So do you call yourself a psychic, or is there some other term that you assign to yourself?
Well, based on the abilities that I have, I fall under the category of being psychic. I haven't really determined exactly what it is from a logical or scientific standpoint.
Right.
But, I mean, there was some research done, and they classified it as having, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but it's
synesthesia?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So they classified it as having that. That is what attributes to psychic abilities.
Interesting. There's, you know, in synesthesia, as far as I know, refers to people who can, for example, taste colors.
Yeah.
And
hear colors, see your
colors,
feel other people's emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. There aren't too many people that have that label, the synesthesia.
Well, and I think the reason for that is because we're basically classified as psychic, right? And
right.
As being classified as a psychic, you're either a kook or people are extremely fascinated by you, which is the world that I live in. You know, it's one or the other.
Yeah, that's very true. That's true. Either you're too woo-woo and you're just out there, or people really love following you and listen to every word you say.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about the breadth of your psychic abilities later, but what are, say, two of the ways that your special talents are manifest?
In dreams and in visions, I guess is what you would call them. It's pictures that I see in my head when I'm wide awake.
Uh-huh.
Things that are going to happen, people, places, things. It's funny because there's been quite a few times where I've seen someone in my head that I met 6 months later.
Oh, interesting. And you can remember their face to 6 months later.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I can't even remember someone's face from like 5 minutes before that I met.
Well,
you know,
see,
it's difficult.
The thing with psychic abilities is what happens is it's almost like, you know how something happens in your life and your brain forms a memory of it and then you can look back on that memory?
Yes.
Okay. So it's almost like forming memories before they've happened.
Right.
Yeah. And so it stays in your head as though it's a memory of something that's already happened, but it hasn't happened yet.
Boy, I wonder, you know, in the brain, the amygdala is where memories are stored. I wonder, it would be so great if they could do a study and find out if your vision had been transferred to your amygdala, if it was actually represented there. That would be so fantastic.
Oh, I would absolutely love to find somebody who is interested in studying the abilities, because I'm a very logical person. So having these abilities is a conundrum for me, because I'm always looking for the scientific or logical explanation for what I can do, how I can do it.
Right.
I remember reading that Albert Einstein believed that psychic ability was the ability to time travel.
Right, and that really makes sense when you think of it.
It does. In a sense, it makes sense. And then, you know, it's funny because I always tell people if I didn't have the abilities I have, I probably would be a non-believer.
Right.
And I've spent a lot of my life trying to find the reason why. You know, why am I like this? How do I do this? You know,
right.
it's something that I don't know if they'll ever fully explain it.
Well, yeah, I have some more questions about that for you that I'll ask you in a moment. But we've spoken before, and you told me that you were born with these special abilities. But that unfortunately, in your case, this didn't have positive consequences for you growing up in your family, right?
No. No, it didn't. So basically what happened was, I remember when I was really young and I had a dream that we were at a house and my dad's favorite aunt was laying in a box and it looked like she was sleeping. And all the grown-ups looked sad and all the kids were running around and playing. Now, when I spoke of this dream, it was obvious to my parents that she was in a casket and we were at her house based on the home that I described. And I was told that that wasn't nice and I shouldn't make up stories like that and, you know, things like that. And then a few weeks later, when she passed away and part of her funeral arrangements were that she wanted the viewing to be held in her home, it kind of drove a wedge between me and my dad. It was his favorite aunt. It was almost like I killed her.
Right.
You know, and then my mom's always been fascinated and supportive of my gifts, but my mamere, I remember her saying once that it was the devil's work, and that's what happens when you don't get baptized, and that demons were working through me.
And you were told that as a child?
Yeah, well, I overheard that part as a child.
Yeah, well, so much kids overhear, and, you know, when they're young, they don't have the filters, the rational filters that can say that's true or not true about me. So what they hear just goes right into their subconscious and remains there. So that was I'm sorry that you had to hear that.
Well, it's unfortunate, and it also caused me to grow up being afraid and ashamed of my abilities.
Right. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time hiding it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Have you talked to other psychics, and did they go through similar experiences?
I've spoken to another psychic medium that lives in the Sudbury area. Her name is Jay Lane, and you know, she's so open and out there with her abilities, and I almost envy her that, you know, that she's so confident with what she can do and who she is. And we ended up having a conversation one day, and she was telling me, you know, that I need to stop being ashamed of who I am. It's a part of me. It's a part of who I am. And she also said that, you know, the amount of shame that I have or the amount of fear that I have when it comes to my abilities could stem also from a past life, you know, a bad experience that I had in a past life and things like that. So, she basically told me to stop hiding who I am.
Yeah.
Because I think that's
a lesson for everyone to learn, because so many of us hide our true selves and we wear these masks day to day and we hide the truth, you know, true things about ourselves often that we want to share, but we're fearful.
We're fearful of prosecution.
Yeah.
You know, people coming at us and just, you know, people getting angry with you or, you know, and I have yet to, I do readings. In my area here, I do tarot readings and angel card readings. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I have a friend who kind of likes to push me outside my comfort zone, which is great. And she finds people that want readings and she tells them, oh, I have the best psychic. You know, I've been seeing her for years and she's never been wrong. And, you know, so then that kind of draws people in. And I'll do readings on people that, you know, come to me from her or that, you know, hear about me through someone that knows her, you know, things like that.
Right, right. And I did want to mention in advance so that people have a chance that Katie is offering to do an angel card reading if somebody wants to call in, and they can call in at 657-383-1534. Again, that's 657-383-1534. So what did you do at 16 when you were homeless? How did you survive?
I honestly don't know. I got myself into some really bad situations. A lot of time I was sleeping on the streets or sleeping in between the doors of a bank, you know, to keep warm on winter nights and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I have eaten out of a dumpster, but most days I was able to panhandle, I guess it's called, enough money to get myself something to eat.
Oh boy, that sounds very, very difficult.
It was.
Wow.
It's probably one of the worst chapters in my life, but it's also part of what made me who I am, the strong person that I am. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you learned from it. You turned it into something positive.
Yes,
that's
I
amazing.
Did.
That's really amazing. So what was it that happened when you were 25? You mentioned it made you realize you had been feeling like a victim, and so you decided to take your life back and become a survivor.
Well, everything that went wrong in my life made me angrier at my parents. Every
mm-hmm.
downfall I had made me dislike them more. You know, every
okay.
bad thing that happened in my life was someone else's fault.
Right.
And
right.
That thinking caused me to have more and more downfalls and to become angrier and angrier with the world, with myself, with, you know, the people that, you know, my family. And then one day I was sitting there and I realized I'm not happy. I am not happy with my life at all. And I need to do something about this. I need to change. Something needs to change. I need to grow in some way. And one of the things that I realized is I need to stop blaming everyone else for my problems. I'm 25 years old. You know, everything that I have in my life or don't have in my life now is, you know, the product of what I've been doing, the product of the choices I've been making, the product of how I've been living, my mind frame. And so
exactly.
I had to examine myself, you know, to figure out where I went wrong, what I was doing wrong, if that makes sense. And
mm-hmm.
so I made the decision to pick myself apart, and I made two piles, a pile of things I loved, a pile of things I didn't love. And when I was done, the pile of things I didn't love was bigger than the pile of things I loved. And that was
uh-huh.
really upsetting for me. So what I did was I bucked up and I picked up the pile of things I loved and I put them back inside me.
Yeah.
And I made the decision to start filling the holes that were left behind with
mm-hmm.
more and more and more things that I could love about myself.
I love that description. What a great technique too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I thought of it or where it came from. Like I said, my abilities have helped me a lot through life,
mm-hmm.
so I tend to find things that way.
Right.
And then I realized that I wasn't being abused anymore. I wasn't being traded for anything. I wasn't homeless anymore. You know, I wasn't a victim anymore. These were things that were in my past and I needed
right.
to put them there and keep
right.
them there.
Right, right. So you tidied them up, and what did you do with them?
With my past,
with the negative, with all the negative stuff.
I threw them in the garbage.
Threw them in the garbage. Great.
Yeah, I threw them away.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and I did this in front of a friend, so I wouldn't feel like I was talking to myself. So I mean, he must have thought I was completely crazy, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's probably better that you did it in front of it. You have, you know, someone observing you and
yeah.
someone holding you accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I needed to talk these things out, and I wanted somebody to be there to hear me so that I didn't feel ridiculous and stop, you know, because I felt silly talking to myself. There was someone there, and all he was to do was listen.
Right. Right. Well, good thing you had him there.
Yes, it is.
Now let's talk some more about your special abilities. You have these, what you call these visions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you have these whether you're awake or asleep? Are they different experiences when you're awake and when you're asleep?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So when I'm asleep, it's almost as though I'm there. I'm
okay.
where the situation is happening. Sometimes I can even, I'll even be the person it's happening to,
oh.
you know? And
okay.
so I get a glimpse of something that's going to happen, something horrible that's coming, or, you know, and they seem like they last forever. And sometimes I'll force myself awake yeah. halfway through, and then mm-hmm. when I fall back asleep, it picks up where it stopped, and it
continues
until it's finished. So there's really no getting away from it, and I've dreamed some pretty horrific things. And there's been times, too, where I started to believe that that was the new reality, that that was my life, and that's who I was. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it can get very confusing sometimes.
That's what I was wondering about, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's like really being there. It's like that's your life. That's who you are. And if the dream lasts too long, my mind starts to believe that's my new reality.
Your reality. Can you give an example of some of the like a vision that you had?
Well, I had a vision dream once about a massive flooding,
mm-hmm.
and there was a huge tidal wave coming, and I was trying to get my family away from the water and you know to higher ground. And I remember being in the dream, and in the dream, the person I was, I started crying, and I remember me, you know, the person I am, thinking, I just want my life back. I just want to go back to the way things were. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this life. This isn't fair. I want to go back to the way things were. I'm scared. And then when I woke up, I was so jolted. It took me a while to realize that it was just a vision.
Wow. So you were still, even though you sensed that it was happening to you, you were still able to have that split of your consciousness, your own consciousness, and be sort of aware and trying to get free from that.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. That's amazing.
It's unbelievably jarring.
God, imagine what all the horrific things that you've gone through in your sleep.
Yeah. But you really can't.
Yeah, I bet your sleep isn't all that refreshing as most people.
No, it's really not. Yeah. And then when I'm awake...
Has it ever made you scared to go to sleep?
Yeah. There's been nights where at the end of a vision, a dream, I would wake up and I would be shaking and I would be scared and feeling all of these emotions that aren't mine. And like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I can't fall back asleep.
Right.
I'm too scared to fall back asleep because I'm afraid that I'll go back into it, and I don't want to see anymore. I don't want to be there. You know, it's terrifying, and so I just don't go back to sleep. I'll get up and do housework.
Yeah. Wow, that's tough. And so what's the experience like then when you're awake?
When I'm awake, it's not as intense. So what'll happen is I'll be in the middle of a conversation with somebody or something, and they'll say something that triggers a vision.
Uh-huh.
And then I kind of do what people are calling spacing out. I space out. I uh-huh. kind of go into my own little world. Apparently my eyes, the color of my eyes gets lighter. Yeah. And when I come back, people who know me really well will immediately ask me, what did you see?
Yeah.
And then I'll tell them. I'll tell them what I saw and you know what I saw happening or what's coming or, you know, things like that. So it's a lot tamer when I'm awake. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because I'm awake and active and I'm in full control of myself and my mind and my body.
Yeah.
As opposed to when I'm asleep.
Right.
But and when I meet people for the first time, I find that something as simple as a handshake
uh-huh.
will show me everything I need to know about them, past, present, future. And I always feel really bad because I feel like they're at a disadvantage, you know?
Of course. Yeah. But just by shaking their hands.
Yeah, that physical contact shows me everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about an example of that? Like somebody that you met?
Yeah, okay. So when I had met one of my neighbors for the first time, they're a handshaker. So they walked up to me and they shook my hand. And I saw things about them that they were hiding from the world. And it was really funny because, you know, I saw shame that they were feeling and why they were feeling it. You know, things that they had done in the past that they regretted that nobody knew about. And it was really funny because one night at a fire, you know, it came out that I have abilities. Because I had another friend there who mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
And she's one of those non-believers, so she challenged me. And I said, no, I can't do it, not here. And she said, oh, I don't believe in it anyways, just tell me. well, let's see how good you are. And when I get challenged like that, I tend to, I get angry, you know, and
right.
offended. And so I started telling her what I saw in her past. And when she had had enough and heard enough and her eyes were really wide and her jaw dropped, and she told me to stop, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
She said, okay, that's enough. I believe you.
Wow.
And I wasn't doing it to be malicious, but I get so sick and tired of people who don't believe in it, fine, just let it be, you know?
But they challenge you.
Yeah, you don't have to be arrogant or ignorant about it, you know?
Like, right.
It's not for everyone, and I get that, but it's something I have, and I can't. I've tried to block it, and you can't.
No.
You know, if it's there, it's there. There's nothing I can do about it. Now, if you want to know things, I don't mind telling you. But if you don't believe in it, you don't have to approach me. You don't have to challenge me. Don't be arrogant. Don't be ignorant, because it's not going to get either of us anywhere good.
Right. Right. It's interesting. You know, I bet you changed her mind about psychic abilities.
Absolutely, I did.
She probably never challenged anyone again.
No, maybe, I don't know if anyone, but she definitely never challenged me again. And she never asked me anything after that either. Because some people are actually scared of it.
Really?
I think
I would want to know as much as I could learn.
Yeah.
I'm too curious.
Oh, I know. Me too. I'm very curious. There's two questions I get a lot, though. One is, will I win the lottery? And I always say no to that one because I think it's a ridiculous question. It's my prerogative to answer.
Right.
And when am I going to die? I will never, ever tell anyone when or how they're going to die.
Right. Of course not. That would be really harsh.
Well, that, and even if they want to know, they'll start living every day to their death.
Yeah, it would definitely change the their lifestyle, how they were living, how they were thinking, and everything. It would,
yeah.
It would be like giving them a diagnosis that they had a terminal illness.
Yeah.
It's funny that those are the two most frequent questions.
Yeah. I swear, those are the two questions that I get asked by everybody. Money and death, that's what people obsess about.
Yeah. It's funny because those are some of the biggest fear inducers also. People are so fearful about their money situations, and they're fearful about death. I guess no one asked you ever about public speaking, huh?
No.
Public speaking is said to be the second biggest fear, public speaking. Some people say the first biggest fear. Yeah, public speaking. So, okay. So it sounds like you feel like you have sort of an unfair advantage when you meet people.
Absolutely.
So how do you counteract that? How do you deal with that?
I carry myself around as an open book. So when I meet people for the first time, you know, I tell them a lot of things about me, my past, you know, what I've been through, you know, how far I've come. And then they'll open up to me willingly and start to tell me some of the things that I've already seen. Now, there's always...
Okay, Katie, can I just interrupt you for a second?
Yep.
We have to cut for our advert break.
Yep.
And we'll pick up when we come back.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Hello, amazing listeners to the I Am Radio TV Network. We thank you so very much for being here with us today. We wanted to let you know we have an amazing opportunity coming up. We have available broadcast time. If you are a coach, author, speaker, or a business person looking to get your message out to the entire planet, then please get in touch with us as soon as possible, and we will go over the various levels of participation in our network. Again, we thank you for being with us here today on the I Am Radio TV Network. Now, get ready to go. Interactive.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And Katie, I'm sorry I had to cut you off.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Okay, so go continue with what you were saying.
So basically what I was saying is that I try to be an open book. I tell people as much as I can about myself. my past and, you know, what's going on in my life now, because I feel like if I know everything about them, then they should know pretty much everything about me. And it kind of makes me feel, whether or not they realize it or not, that we are now on even ground.
Right.
Know, kind of work even.
Right. Yeah, they have no clue what's going on, but...
No. It really, you know, that, really helps me in my business and coaching, though.
Oh, okay. Sharing. The sharing with them?
No, my abilities.
Oh, you're... Well, I assume that they would. My God. Tell us about that. Tell us about, like, how a coaching session might go with you.
Okay, so a coaching session with me is the client is telling me how their week went. And while they're telling me how their week went, I'm jotting down, you know, my notes, what they're saying, but I'm also seeing in my head the things that they're not telling me. And then what I do with that is I gear the questioning towards getting them to tell me about the things they don't want to tell me about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I've actually had clients, because I don't tell all of my, like, some of my clients figure it out, because sometimes I'll say something that hasn't happened yet and I go into too much detail when I'm trying to make a point based on what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And then the next day, the next session, they'll come back and exactly what I said was going to happen detail for detail. Right. And they'll ask me, are you psychic or something?
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes I talk about things that I'm seeing as opposed to, you know, possible outcomes. Like, I'll flat out tell them without meaning to exactly what's going to happen if they keep making the same choice. But sometimes I go into too much detail.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, and so when, you know, when it happens exactly the way I said it was going to, where I said it was going to, how I said it was going to, they kind of come in and they start questioning me, like,
they're a little suspicious. Yeah, how did you know so much about me?
Yeah.
Are you following
me
around?
That exact thing was going to happen at that exact house. And
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I can see how it would definitely have a huge impact on your coaching ability. And
oh, absolutely.
You know,
I mean, the reason I'm so successful in my coaching is because I'm so, because of my ability to read people, to be able to see what they're not saying and work on that, even if they're not talking about it. Because sometimes there's things that happen that people are ashamed of or embarrassed about, right?
Right.
And I can see those things. So then, you know, I can give them homework or tools to do in regards to that situation, and then, you know, gear the questioning towards getting them to open up about it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
You know, I don't have, by any stretch of the imagination, any abilities like yours, but in coaching, I find that when I listen to my intuition, when you're in a coaching situation, you just sort of get into this dance, so to speak, in which I'm able to pick up a lot and intuit a lot from the client. And it's like you say, about what they're saying, but also about what they're not saying.
Yes.
So now we know that the brain's conscious abilities are fairly limited, like focus, concentration, and attention. All of our abilities like that are pretty limited. So what happens to you when these visions intrude? I mean, I know you say you kind of space out, your eyes get lighter, but are you
aware?
But I'm
no longer a part of the conversation I was having. I feel rude when it happens.
Yeah.
And I don't always have control over when it's going to happen. I'm getting better and better at pulling myself out of it, but I know that once I hit that trance, the people that know me are going to want to know what I see, right? So people who know me really well are very patient with me.
Yes.
They'll wait till I snap out of it, and then they'll just ask, you know, what did you see? And then if it has to do with them, then I'll tell them what I saw. I don't mind doing that.
Katie, we have a great opportunity for you to show your stuff, so to speak. We have a caller.
Okay.
So let's hold on for that transfer.
Hi, Dr. Simone, Coach Katie.
Yes.
Hi, it's Emily Miller. I've called in because I'd like to receive a one-card reading.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, Katie, do your thing.
All right, Emily, so what I'm going to get you to do is I'm going to get you to close your eyes and ask the angel for a number. The first number that pops up in your head, that is the card that I will pull for you.
Okay. I'm getting the number 16.
16. Okay, so I'm going to get that card for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the card is All is Well.
Oh, lovely.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And so what this card is telling you, for whatever's going on in your life right now, it's saying that everything in your life is happening exactly as it is supposed to, and that there are hidden blessings that you will soon understand.
Wow.
That sounds great.
It does sound great. Thank you so much.
What a positive message, huh?
You're very welcome. Definitely. Do you have any questions, Emily?
No. I'm great, very grateful for the card reading, and I'm excited to know that everything is well and that there are hidden blessings that will be revealed to me. So
yes.
that's always good to know. And yeah, I've been listening to the interview. So I've been learning all about how you came to identify these mystic skills that you have. So I'm just keen to, I guess, carry on listening in that sense. So.
Where awesome. Are you from, Emily?
Sorry?
Emily, where are you from?
Oh, well, I'm from England originally. So
okay,
you can detect the British accent.
Yes,
although I'm a
yes.
world traveler, and I've lived in a few other countries like New Zealand, Australia, and I'm now living in America. So I'm here in Lincoln, Maine, USA.
So you're in the cold section of the country.
Yes.
Yes. Buried in snow. Is the snow? Is there still snow, or is it gone?
No, thank goodness, it's all completely gone. Although there was a snow shower like last week down south.
Wow, amazing. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Emily.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on the show.
Sure. Well, that was some good news, Katie, that you were able to share.
Yes.
That's wonderful. I was wondering if you think the subconscious plays any role in your abilities, because I know that our subconscious knows, for example, if we're going to make a physical movement, our subconscious knows that even before our conscious mind is aware of us making a physical movement. And our subconscious is so much more quick, and it screens and filters out information that, you know, is deemed not relevant to the person's consciousness. So do you think the subconscious might be involved in any way in these psychic abilities?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. I've read a lot of like neurologist studies and scientific studies, and you know, it claims that it's a cross wiring, the way the brain is cross wired.
Mm-hmm.
Claims that, you know, it's what we talked about earlier. Again, I cannot get the pronunciation of that correct.
So synesthesia.
Synesthesia. Actually, some people have tried to link it to epilepsy.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. As like a form of seizures, but there's just nobody really knows 100% how it works, where it comes from, what part of the brain is it, you know, is being accessed every single time you have a vision. You know what I mean?
Right. Is there activation? Do you know if there's activation in the vision, the occipital lobe of the brain when they're having a vision?
In your actual sight?
In the occipital lobe of your brain, which is in charge of vision, do you know if there's activation in that vision part of your brain when people have in the visual part of your brain when you have a vision?
See, this is, I love your questioning because these are questions that I've been asking for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to know what part of the brain lights up when you're having a vision.
Right.
Is it the, you know, because, I mean, it could be the vision part. It could be, you know, the part where your mind creates things, you know, like almost the make-believe, whatever part of the brain that is.
The creativity, which is more in the frontal lobe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would be 100% open to any studies in regards to the abilities because I have to know how they work, why they work, what is going on in my brain. Because when I have these visions, like I said, I space out and everything kind of disappears.
Yeah.
So it's like going inside my head and watching a movie and then coming back, you know?
Right. That's interesting. I have a client who has depersonalization disorder, and he spaces out, but he doesn't have, you know, visions or anything of that nature. But I guess it's a similar situation because he spaces out. He doesn't know what's going on around him. He's in his own world, and then he rejoins, and he feels, you know, disconnected.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel?
See, when I rejoin the world, though, I have something, like I have, you know, a new memory.
Right.
And, I mean, some doctors have tried to classify it as epilepsy. However, the form of epilepsy they're trying to classify it as comes with hallucinations. And that is where you see something, like, running around the room that isn't there.
That isn't there, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that regard, they weren't able to tie the two together.
Right. Well, how does one separate, like, a hallucination from a vision?
Well, they say that a hallucination is something that you see in your surroundings that isn't actually there.
Right.
And a vision is, like, going inside your head and remembering something that happened, but it hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Interesting distinction. So you're remembering it, but it hasn't happened.
Yes, that's what I always say it is. I'm remembering something that hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Are there any specific things that you've had visions about that we might know about that have happened?
The airplanes. Do you remember when all the airplanes were disappearing and crashing and all of that?
Yeah.
I dreamt about that before it happened, and I was actually someone living in the States, and I was sitting under an awning, and a plane was flying over, I remember a piece of glass, thick glass, hit the ground in front of me, and it was charred and smoking.
Wow.
And so I looked out from under the awning that I was sitting under, and I looked up, and there were, like, 7 or 8 planes flying overhead. And one just disappeared out of sight. Another one blew up in the sky. Another one, you know, crashed. And it just, all of these things were happening. And when I woke up, I was really put off by it. So I told my neighbor about it.
Right.
And then 2 months later, she comes over to me, like, her eyes bugging out of her head. And she freaked out. And she's like, oh, my God, it started happening.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I dreamt about that. I dreamt recently, actually, I had a dream about a terrorist attack that's going to happen at an airport.
Uh-oh.
And that was one of the dreams, and I think it's going to happen in the States, and that was one of the dreams where I was the person, I was a black girl with curly hair wearing a purple shirt, and I was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to the hospital because I had gone into labor, and they came in, and they were so well organized.
Yeah.
And I actually feel the fear of the dream as I'm saying it to you right now.
As you're speaking it, yeah.
Yeah, and they started shooting everything up, and nobody got out alive.
Including the girl in the purple shirt?
Including, the girl that I was.
Oh, wow.
And and it's funny because I'll wake up and I'll tell my husband about these dreams, and then, you know, I try to describe what the hospital looked like, and we both get on Google and start trying to find this hospital.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
amazing. It's frustrating because why am I seeing it? How am I supposed to stop that? I have no idea what to do with that information.
Yeah, I know. I know that some psychics have worked with police departments in the past.
No, and I understand that, working with the police departments, but I mean, my visions, they come and go as they please unless I have my cards in front of me. My cards help me to access more information than what is given to me. And so that's why I use the angel cards and the tarot cards. That, and people just like it when you use the angel cards.
When you
and
have
the tarot
cards,
right? But, I mean, I get, like, the dreams that I have, they're usually about major things that are going to happen in the world. But I don't decide when those dreams come.
Of course. Of course.
And so, I mean, and what my fear is, what if I call, you know, the FBI or the police station and say, hey, there's going to be a terrorist attack? I don't want to be put in with that. I don't want to be accused of anything. You know, we live in a very terrifying world now where information is actually harmful to you. The more information you have, the more harmful it can be to you.
That's true. Yeah, in the cases in which you're talking about, that's true.
Yeah, and like, what am I supposed to tell them? It's somewhere in the States, and it's at a hospital that has, you know, kind of like a round front. That's the best I can give them, and a description of the girl that I was.
Yeah.
I remember being on a Ferris wheel, though.
Oh.
When I went into labor, I was on a Ferris wheel.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you have to Google a Ferris wheel nearby a hospital.
I know. It's just it's too much, but
I was going to say, can I take advantage of your abilities and do an angel card reading for me?
Absolutely. I was hoping you were going to ask.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Now,
so
when you first asked Emily for a number came into my head, and now I have the same number.
Okay.
Should I stick with that one?
Yes.
Okay. It's number 7.
Number 7. Good.
So am I going to win the lottery?
No. okay, so this is clairsentience is the card that you got, okay? Mm-hmm. And so what this card is conveying to you is it wants you to notice your reoccurring physical and emotional feelings because right now those feelings are signifying your divine guidance. So you're being guided towards something right now, and your physical and emotional feelings are telling you, you know, they're basically the angel's way of nudging you in that direction.
Okay, so I've got to listen in. I've got to tune in.
Yeah, tune into yourself right now because your physical and emotional feelings. So your physical being and your emotional being are being guided in a specific direction. And based on this card, you should have already kind of noticed this.
Uh-huh, I have.
So, you kind of already, you've already seen it, but you weren't exactly sure what it was or what to do with it.
Right.
So maybe you brushed it off as, you know, okay, well, whatever, you know, I'll look at it later, deal with it later. But you're being guided right now by the angels. They're guiding you towards something.
Okay, well, that sounds exciting. So I need to do my work.
Yeah, just pay attention to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, gut feelings and things like that, really pay attention to them. Things that, you know, thoughts that come into your head that may not make sense to you right away, but it's, you know, sometimes the way they speak to us is they'll whisper in our ear, and then we'll hear it as though it's our own thoughts, but sometimes they don't make sense, and we just brush them off as though they're insignificant.
Right. Thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome.
Now, I wanted to ask you about your status as a relationship whisperer. What does that mean, a relationship whisperer?
It basically means you can bring me the worst relationship in the worst condition, and I can fix it. I can help you fix it, teach you how to rebuild it and make it stronger and make it last.
And what about situations when maybe it's not best that it lasts?
I don't think I've come across a situation where, I mean, if you're talking about an abusive relationship, there's help for that.
Yeah.
You know, there's people you can reach out. There are, you can get, send them to anger management courses. I actually have an anger management and stress management program. And, you know, I believe that all of these things are things that can be fixed and worked on as long as the people involved are willing to do so.
They must be willing, yes. Well, we know that from coaching, of course, that they must be willing.
You know, if a couple comes in and they're in really rough shape and I can just tell that, you know, one or the other is absolutely going to fight me every step of the way, I'll give them a chance. I give them 3 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
If after 3 sessions they're, you know, I realize that I'm basically grabbing a vicious bull by the horn.
Right.
I let go and I tell them, you know, I don't think that this relationship is healthy and my advice to you two is to, you know, go your separate ways. However, if there are kids involved, I always, always try to get them to fight for their relationship.
Right, right. What is it that you see or that you feel in the relationship that leads you to make the coaching decisions that you make?
Well, I read body language. Well, I read micro expressions. I studied micro expressions for about 2 to 2.5 years.
Wow.
So I read micro expressions. So that tells me a lot about a person. I read body language, how they're sitting, how they carry themselves. You know, basically, are they facing towards or away from their partner after 3 sessions? Has this changed? Because that's the first thing I try to change. If I have a couple come in and they're sitting and they're leaning away from each other, that tells me that there's too much distance between them. So the first thing I try to do is get them to come in. I give them tools and we work on that distance. And then by the third, sometimes the fourth, but usually by the third session, they come in, they'll sit down, and they'll lean towards each other. And now people don't realize what a big deal this is, but it is huge.
Yeah.
You know, people who are in love want to be close to each other. I've even had them come in and they'll move their chair closer to their partner, sit down, and they lean into each other.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that helps produce like oxytocin, doesn't it?
Yeah, there are actually a few different chemicals that are released through the process. Oxytocin and adrenaline, that's what comes when you're feeling close to somebody, when you're feeling attracted to them. Then there's dopamine and vasopressin.
Okay, yeah. I know dopamine is one of our reward neurotransmitters that makes us feel very good.
Yeah.
It makes us want to engage in a behavior again.
Yes, and vasopressin is one that makes you feel committed, like you want to be with someone, be there long term.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so these are all, and I tell people too, because people will be like, oh, you know, my heart, I just, you know, love is in the heart, or the heart wants what the heart wants, and I'll tell them, the heart is an organ that pumps blood, love is chemical.
Right, that's so true.
It is.
And that's how the brain works too, it's all chemical.
It is. It's all chemical. Love is chemical, but it's good. It makes you happy. It makes you feel good, you know, and in order to have these chemicals released, you need to be in a well-functioning relationship. Otherwise, you become miserable and depressed. And I also go into, you know, how physical relations in a relationship are extremely important.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. So, I mean, there's a lot of tools that I give, homework and things like that, but it helps them work through each and every step of what's going on in their relationship, what's going wrong with it.
Right. Now, Katie, you have a 10-step program for codependency, is that right?
I do. I wrote a book on it, actually.
Good.
Yeah, it's available on Amazon.
Okay, what's the name of the book?
It's Stop Being Codependent in 10 Easy Steps.
And that's on Amazon.
And it's on Amazon. And when you purchase the book gives you 2 free 30-minute sessions with me to help you navigate through it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then, it's a great program. It's really easy to follow, really easy to get through.
Okay. And what other kinds of things do you have going on that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I have, I'm going to be starting a 10-week Stop Being Codependent coaching program.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I'll do is I'll help take 10 people at a time, and I'll help each person navigate week by week through the codependency program. So we'll go step by step until we complete it. So I have that I'm working on now that's coming up. My relationship coaching, and I also do youth coaching.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and Choice Coaching Canada is about to add counseling to our list of services we offer.
Oh, good. Very good. And I think you have some kids' books that you wanted to mention, right?
Yes, actually, I've written two kids' books. One is currently being illustrated and should be up on Amazon by the end of the first week of June.
Okay.
And then
and
the second one,
what's the title?
Little Johnny Goes to the Moon.
Little Johnny Goes to the Moon. Oh, I love that.
It's a fantastic book about overcoming adversity, not giving up, and finding the solutions.
Sounds like your life.
It sounds like my life, yeah, but, you know, in kid form.
Yes, yes. And the other?
Is Timothy Tantrum.
Timothy Tantrum, I love that. That's hilarious. So that's the one you're working on now still?
Yeah, well, Little Johnny, the one I'm working on now is Are You a Can or a Can't?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's about different mindsets and different personalities that people have, that kids have. You know, either they think they can or they think they can't, which will make all the difference whether they do or don't.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic. So you are one busy woman.
Yeah.
Well, if there's, why don't you give us your website so that, because we'll be wrapping up shortly.
Okay, absolutely. So I can be found at www.choicecoachingcanada.com. And you can email me at C-A-T-I-E, Katie, at choicecoachingcanada.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter under Choice Coaching Canada or Choice Coaching Canada. And an offer I'd like to give to the listeners today is the first five people who call me or get in touch with me via email will get two free 30-minute coaching sessions.
Great. Katie, thank you so much for joining me here today. I know
our
listeners will have enjoyed it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.